on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is April 17th, 2015. And, of course, all y'all welcome on InvestTalk. This is Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Our idea for InvestTalk is to provide a forum for discussing and managing money. Not just stocks and bonds. Talk about any kind of managing money. Now, we do focus on investing money in stocks and bonds, but I bought many properties over my life. Sold them all a few years ago. I actually sold them all in summer of 2005, and I haven't gone back in them because I use REITs if I want to buy a property now. But I'm very familiar with the renting and those kinds of problems you have. Now, but of course, we're all about investing on this show. We invest in the market in one way, shape, or form, and of course, everybody's situation is different, but I'd love to talk to you. Now, what are the factors that affect investing decisions? As we settle into the second quarter of this year, and we're already in the second quarter of 2015, and we're getting earnings reports coming through, certainly there's a lot of world stress, both economical and political, and that usually translates into more volatility, more uncertainty. And that usually translates into market swings, stock markets up and down. And we've seen a big move today. And what was interesting, because I was writing a newsletter yesterday, which goes out this morning, I was saying, you know, we've had a couple weeks with low volatility. And I said, don't expect that to continue. And, of course, today what we have, big down day today. So we're going to, but volatility, I think, is going to really stay with us this year. I really do, because, you know, not just because of economic situations, but you got the Fed who's considering raising rates sooner or later. Doesn't matter. I actually think he's late to the game. You got politics heating up toward the end of the year when you're going to have, you know, more arguments between the two sides about debt, raising the debt ceiling. It's just going to heat up. Okay, and of course you got Europe and Greece, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Greece gets kicked out or they leave the euro. That'd be a disaster for them, but maybe they don't care. It seems like they don't care. So, the Fed is worried about, you know, interest rates being so low. Well, and they're worried about not falling behind. I think they're already behind. We have pretty low unemployment. We have very low inflation. You tell me why interest rates are near zero. Why is the Fed keeping it near zero? Why? There's no reason for it economically that I could see. You're telling me that raising the interest rates by the federal funds rate by a quarter point from zero to 0.25, that's going to really impact the economy? Of course it's not. Anyways, so that's what we talk about. We talk about what helps us make money, what things are dangerous to our money. As the market volatility increases, what can we can do about it? Of course, you can diversify away from the market. You know, you got to maintain a good group of stocks. We like to hold 30 to 35 ourselves. And maybe some alternative investments, you know, anything. Those kind of things. Different classes of assets. Now, is this something you guys want to talk about today? We're here to answer. I'm here to answer any questions or clarify any of these concepts. I try to answer your questions with our 24-hour listener line. Or you can talk to me live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time, 888-99-CHARGE, how to reach me right now. And here's a call.
And it's Henning from Ukraine. My ticker symbol today is Protolabs, PRLB. I have a little position, and I was wondering what you think the prospects are for Protolabs, what your valuation is, and whether it's now a good time to get in. Thanks again for all you do, and all the very best. Bye-bye.
Okay, PRLB, and that is Protolabs. Okay, it's a manufacturer's custom parts used by electronics companies during prototyping and short-run phases of product development. Pretty specific, pretty narrow focus. It's a $2 billion company, so it's not tiny, but I'll tell you what. Sales are tiny. They don't do $58 million in sales last quarter. So why is it $76 stock? Well, earnings are pretty strong, and growth is growing 20 to 30% a quarter, and so are earnings, 20 to 30% a year. They're going to make $2.61 next year, but it's a $76 stock. But then again, it's growing pretty fast. So, you know, I can tell you this. It's overvalued based on price-earnings ratio. But, you know, it maybe earns that overvalue by the strength and growth. Okay? So it's possible. It's a pretty speculative play because of the high P-E ratios and high ratios. But they have a good return on equity of 19%. Management owns 12% of the company. The mutual funds have been very slow buyers. This is one of those, you know, possible growth stocks that you might want to own. But still, it's pretty darn expensive. If you do it on a price to sales basis, it's really over expensive. Price to earnings basis is just expensive. Okay, so now, if you do it based on earnings growth, you try to evaluate based on its growth, and you take, you know, its earnings growth of maybe 25 times earnings, well, then it's about right where the price should be. But that's expensive based on next year's earnings. 888-99-CHART. Fund managers are moving money to Europe. We've talked about that here. And I'm getting a little concerned now. Too many people are talking about it. They believe it's the best place to park money in the stock market over the next year. The bulls are running toward Europe. When everybody does something, I get very nervous. I do. But that's going to be one of our main talking points. I've been saying time to move to Europe, trying to get to Europe. But it's getting a bit crowded. That trade's getting a little bit crowded. I also want to talk about why the market fell today. It's popularly believed it was caused by China making some rule changes in their market. I think that's just an excuse for just profit taking and for the market to go down. Because what they decided isn't that major to us. We'll talk about that. How to talk to your senior citizen parents about their retirement income. Are they stable? I'm having this problem, big problem in my family right now with this. How to talk to them. Not if you should talk to them, because you should. But how to do it? That's harder. The how is harder. And we didn't get to it, but I will talk about buying currencies and some of the risks and dangers and things to watch out for in trading currencies. Because that's getting, as everybody's rushing to Europe, you're really buying the euro, aren't you? You're buying a stock traded in Europe. You're buying the euro. Besides the company, you're also buying the euro. You got those two. When you buy companies outside the United States, you got a couple things, two things that you got to worry about. Not just the fundamentals of the company itself. That's one. The other is the currency translation when you eventually sell that company and bring it back to the United States, or just the fluctuations of currency between the U.S. dollar and the euro if you're buying in Europe. That's true with whatever you buy. If you buy currency trading, that's what it's all about. Today, the market fell sharply. The Dow down 279 points, the NASDAQ down 76, and the S&P down 24. Do you know what the Dow is up or down for the year? Okay, I'm going to give it to you. It is up. It is up for the year 7 points. 17,823 was the close on December 31st of last year. It's now 17,826. That's 7 points. It's up 7 points. The S&P is better, and the Nasdaq's even better. But the S&P is up 1%. So the broader market is up about 1% after today. 1%. Pretty tough. It's been a tough market. Here we are in mid-April. If you haven't attended one of our Saturday Morning Wealth Conferences, I think you'll find it worth your time. Those who have attended seem to think so. It's 3 hours on Saturday morning to discuss a topic that can help make you money. We look for opportunities in today's market, and you got to be thinking global these days. You got to think about it. Global Value Investing is the title. Find opportunities in foreign, domestic, and emerging markets, and we'll also talk about frontier markets. You know the difference between a frontier market and an emerging market? It's a week from tomorrow at the San Jose Hyatt House, 9 to noon. Time to register. You can do that on investtalk.com. 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Well, let's talk about right now. Let's talk about Europe. Everybody seems to be very bullish on Europe. And you've heard me be bullish too. I've been bullish for a few months now. And I'm getting a little worried now that everybody else is bullish on it too. I'm just getting a little concerned. But the survey says 51% of money managers believe Europe is going to be the best place to park money this year. 51%. That is a lot. That's a lot of people getting into Europe. Now, the issue is, you know, a lot of money is flowing there. I mean, in the ETFs and mutual funds, $6.6 billion has flowed into Europe so far in this year. Okay, and it was like just a week ago or a couple weeks ago, like $400 million in 1 week. Over $400 million. So a lot of people are flowing money in Europe. And are you not concerned with the Greek thing? How come that seems to be so little worried about right now? I mean, maybe, frankly, I don't think we should worry about it too much either, if you want to know the truth. I really don't think it. If Greece leaves the euro or gets kicked out or they leave on their own, what really impact will it have? I don't see it being much of an impact. I really don't. But I do think it, the agony of working that out might impact the stock market, but it's not going to impact economies, really. It's really not. So everybody likes Europe, and it's making me nervous. I think the dollar looks like on a short-term basis has peaked. So if the dollar's peaked, that would be good for Europe. And reason being is the QE out of Europe has been pushing the economy, and it looks like that, you know, that is going to work or is starting to work already. It certainly has started to work in the stock market for them. And don't think that that's not a positive for the economy. A stock market moving up usually means a positive result for the stock market. I mean, the stock market move up usually means a positive result for the economy. Stock markets lead economies. So don't think that the stock market rise has nothing to do with the economy, because it does. Look at our own. Just look at our own since our recession. What's happened to the stock market? Stock market started to rise in 2009 when we were still getting really bad economic numbers in our economy. Stock market usually leads, and our stock market was sharply higher in 2009. Bottomed in March. March 9th was the bottom of the stock market in 2009. Then from then on, boom, straight up. You're listening to Invest Talk coming up on the second half of the Invest Talk show here. Chasing yield, but only at what kind of risk are you chasing around? What are the risks that you're willing to take to chase yields? We're going to talk about that in the next half of the hour. I'm Steve Peasley, and your money questions are always welcome. We'll try to answer them at 888-99-CHART.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, think of an ETF as a cross between mutual funds and stocks. But there's more. Why are ETFs good or bad? That's our talking point for Monday, April 20th. We hope you'll be listening then.
Now let's get back to answering some of the questions you have. You can always get your question to me anytime you want. You just call the 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. Of course, we're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, but you can call anytime. Here's a question. We try to answer the question on the very next program.
Hello, my name is Andres. I'm calling from Palm Beach, Florida, and I enjoyed this show. I listen on the podcast every day. My question is, I'm looking to invest in an ETF or a mutual fund that tracks the S&P 500. I'm only going to put about $2,000 to $3,000 annually, but I'm not sure if I should go with the ETF or the mutual fund and which one will give me the better benefit if I'm only going to be investing about $2,000 to $3,000 annually. I'll be listening to your answer. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Well, an ETF, exchange-traded fund of the S&P 500, and the one I'm most familiar with is SPY, that's the symbol, SPY, has a pretty darn low cost. The every ETF and every mutual fund has a management fee inside it, okay? And usually the mutual funds are more expensive than the ETFs. Not always. Vanguard has very low cost mutual funds and ETFs. But I think if you were going to ask me what I would rather you do, it's probably the SPY. I would do the ETF of the S&P 500. Simply because it's much easier. You can have a trading account at anywhere, and you know, E-Trade, Scottrade, whatever, and you can just buy it, and you can sell it anytime during the day. It's just easier, I think, to do that. And it instantly give you the S&P 500 stocks. SPY is what I would use. SPY is the ETF. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So why did the market fall so hard today? 279 points on the Dow. Why? Well, popular belief is because it's all China's fault. China had some rule changes, and that one of the changes that they're allowing short sellers. They're going to allow fund managers and managers of large accounts to large institutional kind of money to sell stocks short, Chinese stocks, on the Shanghai. Well, why? Why would that cause our markets to fall? I don't see why it would cause our markets to fall. I can see why it would cause their markets to fall. Why they're doing it is because our market, the Shanghai index, is up 33% this year. They're trying to pull some of the air out of that, try to let the air out in some way, shape, or form. And so they're going to permit short selling. But the other part of the rule change they had today, not too many people talked about. They banned margin trading. You cannot borrow money and buy stocks. They banned that. And that would tend to make a market drop. But that's only in their markets, not ours. So why did our markets worry about so much what's going on in China's market, stock market? Not the economy, they didn't raise interest rates, and not, you know, they're not changing anything about the matter of fact, they're loosening the purse strings on the economy. So I don't think that's the main reason. I just think that's the excuse that everybody is using. I think the main reason is because our market was marching up, and is marching up for a couple of weeks. It got close to the high again. You know, it's all-time high on the S&P 500, got very close to it, and now it's sold off again. And this has done this this is the third time this year. Third time this year that this has sold off when it got to this point. Now, also, we've had higher lows. So the market goes down, but it doesn't go down as far as it did the last time. So you're forming a little triangle shape on a chart, on a technical basis. And it's a rising triangle, meaning it's probably going to break out. That doesn't have to, but if you're reading the chart, that's what they tend to do when they form this kind of pattern. Higher lows, but hitting against stiff resistance at a certain price. So tells you more buyers are coming in when the sell-off happens, but you just never know. We're also moving into a very bearish time of the year coming up. So I don't want to say very. That would be probably overstating. A bearish time of the year. Usually you have the June swoon. There's that old saying, go away in May. usually there's a correction in the summer, and we haven't had a big correction. The last one was in summer 2011, which was 19% for the S&P fall. All the other corrections have been much less than, most of them have been 5, 6%. We had one close to 10% in October of last year. 10% would be what we call normal correction. So that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're looking at. It's not, the China being the fault of the markets falling. Remember, it wasn't just our market. It's markets all around the world. Not just ours, not just China's. Europe, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Australia, Brazil, you name it, you name a market, and it fell today. Why? Just because of what China did? I understand China is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and becoming more and more important. China's also, if you've been paying attention over the years, slowly moving more and more and more to the financial and economic model of the United States. Not their government, it's communism. But their economic and financial model is moving toward what ours looks like. We often get calls asking for book titles that can help you with, investing, learning how to invest. And you can take a look at our investtalk.com, that I do have books there for you. You're listening to Invest Talk. And as you know, Invest Talk is a two-way conversation. But if you have a question between programs, we're live right now, but maybe you can't call or ask a question at the time, you can still ask the question, and we'll play it on the next Invest Talk. Here, and remember, the number is always the same, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Nate. I listen to your show on a podcast from Richmond, Virginia. Just discovered you this week, and I have thoroughly enjoyed your show. It's very educational, and I appreciate a lot of the info that you put out there in English for us average people. A good show topic, if you haven't already done it, is alternative energy. Would be a good investment for alternative energy, and I have three kids and a grandson on the way. I was wondering what would be a good long-term investment, buy and hold ETF or stock, as far as setting something up for them to where I can just put money into it every now and then and just leave it alone and then, will it over to them or put it in a trust or something. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks, Nate. I don't know if I would invest for long-term for your children in alternative energy, even though it probably will be, it's going to be with us forever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't know if that would be the good diversified investment for your kids for 20 years or however long plus. It might be more of an index play, S&P 500 or NASDAQ. But if you were going to do it in alternative energy, I wouldn't pick a particular stock. I would use an exchange-traded fund. An exchange-traded fund is a group of stocks that are focused on alternative energy, okay, ETF. Now, I don't know off the top of my head what one will be, and if you really want me to look one up for you, I will. You just got to send me an email and ask me, could you give me an alternative energy ETF? And I'll find out. I know there aren't there, and I'll tell you. But I think it might be better to be more, a little bit more diverse than just one particular sector of alternative energy. Maybe the whole sector of energy. At least that way you could be a pickup oil, natural gas, and alternative energy. Maybe that would be a way to go. But you're still being a little bit focused, but it's a little bit more diverse. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. How to talk to your senior parents about their retirement income. I have this issue right now in my family. And this is how to talk to them. Because you can't just go and say, so how much money, Mom, Dad, how much money do you have? Do you have enough money? Why would they talk to you about that? Have your parents ever talked to you about money? Many parents have not. So to broach the subject, here's some hints that will be helpful. One is, be forthcoming about your own finances. If it's your parents, why wouldn't you talk to them about your money? See, if you talk to them about your money, it's a lot easier to say, well, how are you doing? What's money, Mom, Dad, how much money do you have? How's your Social Security income? Is that enough? Do you have enough set aside? At least if you talk about your money, then they'll be more willing to talk to you about theirs. Ask them for advice even if you're not going to take it. Remember, you're trying to open up a dialogue here. Ask them about advice. You don't have to take it, but you can at least ask. Maybe meet with an investment advisor together. I meet with people all the time. I don't try to talk them into buying anything. You don't have to be a client or become a client. Most good investment advisors want to help. They do. I want to help. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to have become a client. Not. And I try to help. So if you go together, at least, they don't feel so vulnerable. And also, ask them about what they see for their financial future. Do they think they have enough in 10 years, 20 years? Because remember, you're going to live a long time. Do you think you have enough? Ask them about what, do they have business interests that maybe they'll make more money or what? They have, are they going to inherit money from someplace or you? And finally, especially when you're talking to seniors, try to educate them on all the scammers that are out there. There's so many scammers that are targeting seniors. The scams are unlimited, especially online scams. And seniors are not that computer savvy. And they'll provide information and stuff they really shouldn't. And, some of these scammers use methods that are very sophisticated. Don't ever give anybody your Social Security number, your driver's license number, bank account number, anything online, ever. Let's talk to James in Sonoma. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. You talked about UPS the other day, and I was...
Go ahead.
Dividend Schwab's website shows up as a red mark, and it shows up it hasn't been increased. If you look at that, I don't understand why.
Well, it looks like for UPS, you're talking about UPS?
UPS, yes. And it lost money again. It's down near its 52-week low. To me, that looks like a buy to me.
Yeah, it's right near its 52-week low. There's a lot of support right here, about $94, $95. It's at $95.38. It was high as about 113 or so back in the beginning of the year, January. So now it's come down. And UPS and FedEx and those kind of companies, they're very cyclical and dependent on the economic cycle. And, James, I really don't think we're falling into recession. I really think that our economy will probably pick up. And this might be a good – I agree with you. This might be a good place to buy it. UPS is such a good, solid, large-cap company with a decent dividend of 3.1%. The dividend is not in danger. They're not going to cut it. Cash flow is $7 a share. And I kind of like it. Yeah, could a stock go down lower? Of course it could. But this does look like a good place to buy it. Now, what I might suggest, James, is wait. It was going sideways for about 2 or 3 weeks and then broke down a little bit today. See if it recovers in the next 2 or 3 days. Then I would, if it does, I would go ahead and buy it. I would.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. And if it kept going down, just be a little bit more patient. It gives you a better price. You can't go wrong if you're going to buy UPS and just hold on to it. It will do well over time, not going away. It's a $86 billion company, $86 billion, pretty big. It's time for InvestTalk 101. In a world where global central banks are all in concert, making a strong effort to depress yields, meaning interest rates, savings rates, CD rates, those yields, many investors are being punished and pushed into less conservative assets that they would rather have. So they're stretching for more yield because many retired people are living on yields and they can't get it with their normal safe investments, savings and CDs. They can't get it. So over the last few years, they have been pushed into more risky assets. And this is what we need to talk about, risk. While yields tend to be slow moving up and down, risk levels of these assets can really be, can move quickly. Okay? Junk bond yields are very low in comparison to their historical yields, but they're very high if you compare them with CDs and money market yields. So junk bonds, people have the last few years have flooded into junk bonds without any understanding how much risk they are taking. In a recession, the default rate is like 25 to 27% for junk bonds, and for normal investment quality bonds, it's like 2, 3%. So we have to be careful about risks we're taking when you're stretching for the yields. I've talked about this for quite some time. Make sure you understand the risk that you're taking. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you don't know how to figure this out, call me. Talk to somebody who knows. And that's the Best Talk 101. Do you have a question you'd like answered? Well, send me a note. Click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com.
Find out more about KPP Financial's Balanced Income Program. It's lower risk, but still open to growth and regular revenue. Check it out on InvestTalk.com. Click on the Investments tab.
Hi, this is Gary. I listen to your podcast, and I'd like to know what you think of ExxonMobil. Thank you.
ExxonMobil, the world's largest oil company, a market cap of $364 billion. What I think is going to be the biggest behemoth of the oil industry. It will stay the biggest behemoth. And for a long-term investor, it's a very good bet because you're going to get 3.2% dividend. It's not going to be cut. And it will slowly grow over time. But not going to be it's not a growth stock. This is a blue chip. You want to buy it when it's cheap. And, last year the high was $104. Today it's $86. It's not going to, it might go back to $104. It could go even higher, but it's going to be slow. I like ExxonMobil. I do. I like, I'm not supposed to mention other stocks, but I like other big oil, integrated oil companies as well. Not just ExxonMobil, but ExxonMobil is the king. I mean, you're talking about a stock that's going to make $5.25 next year. Now, that doesn't look so good when it made $7.60 last year. It's going to make $3.74 this year per share. But at $5.25 next year, and the stock is $86, that's pretty good. That's about a 15, 16 PE. It's not overpriced. I would not say that. I would say it's fairly priced. And I think oil prices have bottomed. I do. Some people don't. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I do think that we've seen the bottom of oil prices, and we'll see. We won't know until time goes by, will we? If we go into recession, oil prices will go lower. But see, I think the dollar had for the time being has peaked, so therefore oil, which is traded in U.S. dollars around the world, just because the dollar has peaked, oil prices should start to move up. And we've seen it. It moved up 7, 8% in, what, a week and a half? I do think this is, so it's time to think about, I've been thinking you should have been thinking about oil stocks a few weeks, a couple months ago. But I still don't think it's too late. I don't. ExxonMobil, XOM, everybody, XOM. What about buying currencies? When you buy a foreign stock, you're really buying the currency as well as the foreign stock. Because someday you got to sell that stock and translate it back into U.S. dollars. And you're buying it, you have to go and buy something foreign in that country. You got to translate, you got to buy it with their currency. You can't buy it with U.S. dollars. You have to buy it with euros or buy it with Japanese yen or whatever. But these days, you can trade currencies yourself using ETFs. You can buy and sell currencies easily. Traditionally, currencies were used as a hedge. Currency trading currencies was used as a hedge because, especially for large corporations or institutions, so that they wanted a hedge against a dollar asset, that's an asset in dollars, against an asset in some other currency, they would buy that currency. One of the common ways to do that is, like, if you're, let's say, Coca-Cola, and you have lots of sales in Europe, and you want to bring that money back here, you could, you know you're going to, for the next year, you could say, okay, I'm going to do this much money in euros, and I'm worried that the euro may fall in price, so I need to do a currency trade to offset that. Okay, that's how it has been used in a lot of places. The problem with trading with currencies for you, me, and everybody else is not that you can't trade with currencies, it's that you have to understand what drives currencies up and down against each other. They're usually very volatile. Therefore, you're also going to have to understand the economies of the currency. Because really, that's what the fundamentals of a currency is the basis, the fundamental basis is the economy of the country you're dealing with. How good is Europe's economy? How good is Japan's economy? How good is Brazil's economy compared to the U.S. economy? Will they be stronger, faster growing than ours or not? And you got to remember, the U.S. currency is the default, de facto world currency. Everybody has lots of faith in the dollar. So that also gives it a leg up. There's lots of things you got to think about. Currency trading is not simple. Don't think it's simple. The physically doing it is. You can do it. But making money at it is not simple. Currency trading. Be careful. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. 888-992-4278. Did you see the news out on Apple? Yeah, the iWatch? Apparently, they're not going to be able to make enough of those things. They're going to have to postpone delivery of those things and postpone having them in their stores. Now, is it because the demand is really high or is it because they're having trouble manufacturing them? Might be a combination of both. Because there is pretty good demand for these things. So, that's another product category coming about by Apple. That will it affect and hurt the watch industry? Will it? I think it might. We're coming up on the last segment of the program. Let's try to get your question in. Call us now at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, think of an ETF as a cross between mutual funds and stocks. But there's more. Why are ETFs good or bad? That's our talking point for Monday, April 20th. We hope you'll be listening then.
Well, we had a pretty busy week with economic statistics that hopefully we can get to. I want to talk about a few of them. But first, let's talk to Rod in San Jose. How are you doing, Rod?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. A little while ago, a fellow called asking about how he could invest in the S&P, and
yes.
You had suggested buying the Spider, SPY.
Yes, sir.
And I was just thinking I'd call and tell him what I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I listen to you all the time, and I get all my ideas from you. And I met with you years ago, and you told me to go to Charles Schwab and. So I did. I have an IRA, and what I do is with IRA, Charles Schwab, you can buy one ETF, and the one I buy is, one of the ones that I buy is the SPLV, and it's commission-free. I put a buy point on there, and like today, I bought a few of them.
And what is that? Which one is that?
The SPLV.
Yeah.
I compare it to the Spider.
Okay.
The S&P.
Okay.
That's the S&P, and with Charles Schwab, what I've been doing for the last few years is I have all these buy points on all these different ETFs, and they're all commission free. And like this morning, I turn on my telephone and I look at my email and I see that the market's down before I even turn on my computer. I know the market's down because I've hit all these buy points.
Right.
And I can just buy one here, buy all of these different ETFs. I just pick them all off at these different set points. And the S&P, the SPLV, Steve, has been one of the best ones.
Yeah.
I mean, when it pulls back, I pick one up, I pick another one up.
Rod, you're doing it right. Over any length of time, you keep buying in the index, you will do just fine. You don't have to hire people like me. You don't have to do it.
Well, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money anymore. I wish I'd have talked to you back in 2007 before I lost $500,000.
That's painful.
But I went and talked to you in 2010, and I listened to you religiously, and I just felt that since this fellow that called up, he sounded a little young, and he wanted to know how to get involved in the S&P, and I feel that if he, you know, mine's an IRA, but if you go to Charles Schwab, you can. I don't know if Fidelity has the same thing. Somebody else may have the same thing. I just go to Charles Schwab, and I buy these ETFs, commission free, and I pick them off one at a time. The market pulls back, and they hit my set points, and then I just do it that way. I think commission free is the way to go.
I like commission free. Rod, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Thank you. And it is a good way to invest in the market over time. Just keep putting money in. And, you know, the market has been on an upward trend since 2009. We eventually will have a big correction. We will eventually have a bear market. We will. But that doesn't mean you stop. Matter of fact, if you do have it, you buy more shares at a cheaper price. As long as you consistently keep doing it and you have lots of time, you'll do fine. You'll do very well. You just got to be patient, especially when the market falls. That's when it gets tough because people think, oh, no, I'm losing all my money. Well, if you think of it in terms of, remember that S&P 500 you're buying shares of companies. They're not going anywhere. It's not like, you know, you're at Vegas and you lost your money on a roulette wheel. You know, you still own those shares. They'll come back. Don't worry so much. Anyway, today we had some economic numbers, more economic. So it's kind of a busy week. Today we had the Consumer Price Index, and that's CPI, all about inflation. Inflation, and it was up 0.2%. They expected it to be up 0.3%, and it matched the last month's report. This is for March of 0.2%. So inflation is not a worry, hasn't been a worry for some time, still not a worry. And what's nice about this is I'm more concerned about deflation, but it doesn't look like that's taking hold either, which is good. Good. Consumer sentiment was up from 93 to 95.9. I'm not a big, and this is for April, I'm not a big fan of consumer sentiment because it moves up and down based on what someone feels at the time they take the survey. It's not really helpful. But the leading economic indicators, that was up 0.2%, which is pretty small. But last time it was up 0.1%. So, before I close for the hour, a reminder to sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program. It's free, and it gives you access to all sorts of information. Helpful info sheets, and monthly economic forecasts. That's what I do. We supply it to you. It's easy to register at InvestTalk.com. It's just an email address for us to send it to you. Pretty simple. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPB Financial, thank you for listening, and we'll hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.